It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today will be a pop culture edition, or should I say pop up culture edition. Yesterday, after my wife Dana and I got home, I reached into our mailbox, you know, the old-fashioned snail mailbox on the porch. I reached in to get our mail. The mail had arrived. As usual, no surprises, about two actual letters in actual envelopes, and yet the mailbox was still stuffed to the hilt. Everything else was an ad. Those ads come in all shapes and sizes and various kinds of paper, light paper, construction paper. They're usually folded to fit into the mailbox, and they take up almost the entire space in the mailbox. I couldn't help but be reminded of the time when nothing seemed more annoying than ads in your mailbox or commercials on television. And then I remembered, in the 21st century, we've progressed far beyond elementary inconveniences. We have ads that are so much more annoying. Computer pop-up. Yeah, how about that computer pop-up? Don't you just love it? Or do you hate it, like me? I hate computer pop-up. I hate it with a passion. It's not as if any of us ever loved commercials anyway, but one that leaps into your face like a sneaky, sinister jack-in-the-box makes me wonder if there isn't a special place in hell for advertisers who program such intrusive garbage. I'm not sure if it reminds me of the solicitor who ambushes people outside a supermarket exit door or some fly at a picnic that won't get away from the food. Yes, I have had anti-pop-up software, of course, installed on my computer, but I guess I need the latest updated version because the snakes seem to keep crawling out of their pit. Why am I talking about this today when there's so many more important news events going on in the world? Well, for one thing, being a writer and being in full-time ministry these days means spending a lot of time on the internet, a lot of time in front of my computer, and oh, the memories I could share. I'll never forget the time I used to blog on townhall.com every day. One particular day, while on their site trying to post my own blog, a car dealer ad kept popping up and blocking most of the screen. You know what I'm talking about, to the point where you can't get any work done if you don't remove it. And I would click that X, that upper left box with the X, you click it, and then the ad goes away, in theory. Well, this ad would go away, but immediately, within seconds, pop up again. Well, no worries. I finally noticed this particular pop-up ad came with a special message. Click here to remove ad from screen. Oh, I see. All right. Well, that's why I couldn't get rid of it myself. I was clicking the wrong button. In this case, it was the resurrection button, which caused the pop-up ad to keep popping out of the grave like a special celebration of Easter Sunday. Yes, of course. Instead of doing it the conventional way, the normal way, I will click where they tell me to click. I guess you must know while you're listening right now that it didn't work. If it had, I wouldn't be on the air talking about this. No, the special click did not actually remove the ad. Instead, I was whisked off the town hall page faster than the cyclone blew Dorothy's modest little house to Munchkin Land. Only my house traveled to the car dealer. I got out of there fast, went back to town hall to post my blog again, but it continued happening repeatedly. repeatedly enough times to see this was not a fluke or figment of my imagination. I suppose I should be more forgiving. I may even be guilty of judging these businessmen far too hastily. For all we know, this could have been an act of compassion. Yes, perhaps these advertisers, when asking us once again to revisit their sites, want to merely offer a second chance, just in case we don't know our own minds and miss the opportunity of a lifetime. They're only thinking of us. Yeah, that must be it. It's not unlike our government giving us the free health care they say we have been asking for, even though poll after poll shows that we have not asked for it, and even though it's not really free. And then later, when they try to change our everyday laws, dietary laws, try to tell us what kind of food we're allowed to eat or not eat, such as meat, they can say, Hey, if we're going to pay for your health care, we have a right to insist that you stay healthy so we can keep the costs down. By that time, we're supposed to forget that we never asked these self-righteous narcissists to pay for our health care. Hey, how about that? I managed to say something today about current events after all, and we owe it all to that marvelous internet invention, pop-up. The most charming conception since sliced ham, which is probably going to be on the list of foods we're not allowed to eat. My Orthodox Jewish friends will at least have no trouble with that one. Maybe the government will still allow us to eat Rice Krispies. I love Rice Krispies. But on the internet, I'd just as soon not have any Snap, Crackle, or Pop. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Hold on to your seats. Are you waiting for the news of the century? Rosie O'Donnell has self-deported. She now lives in Ireland. I must say, this puts me in a quandary. I'm really not sure exactly how to respond. Do I celebrate with balloons or champagne? I will say this, at least she really left. Usually when celebrities threaten to leave the country should an election go a certain way, they still hang around afterwards. They never leave. I'm not sure if Rosie's threat of departure had come to Trump's attention during 2024. If only Trump had known ahead of time, he could have said, "That's reason enough to vote for me right there." And then Rosie O'Donnell could have been added to the list of promises made, promises fulfilled. Now, I should say, if you think this means we aren't going to hear from Rosie anymore, think again. Just because she's in Ireland, it doesn't mean she can't still talk to us over the internet. With her big mouth, we could probably hear her from across the ocean without the internet. But she is posting stuff, and here's the good news. If things change, she might return. Whew. Thank God. But there are conditions. Human rights have to be restored. You know, I would love to ask her for an example, just one example of one single right of hers that was infringed upon when Trump was president the first time and has been infringed upon since he took office. I know the left said people would be going to jail for speaking their minds, for speaking against Trump. That is simply not true. If it were, we wouldn't be hearing any more from celebrities like Joy Behar. Make no mistake, it's the left that wants to curtail free speech. During the election, Vice President candidate Governor Tim Walz said the First Amendment doesn't allow hate speech. What he meant was the First Amendment, if he became part of a new administration, would have outlawed all speech he and the left disagrees with. Our forefathers knew that speech would not always be popular. Speech that everyone likes or agrees to doesn't need to be protected. A lot of people are going to call it hate speech if they disagree with it. And the left has interesting versions of free speech anyway. Supposedly, burning down Tesla dealerships is free speech. But speaking against the transgender movement, speaking up for women who don't want men in sports teams, that's hate speech. In fact, they call that violence. Or refusing to call Islam a religion of peace because of 9/11 and other savagery, that's violence. Or claiming that a 2020 election was fixed, that's violence. Words are violent. Catching on to the left, words are violent. Vandalizing actions are demonstrations of democracy. See how it works? Speaking of Tesla, I thought electric cars were going to save the planet. Well, not really. Not if their inventor is going to help Donald Trump. Elon Musk, as I just mentioned, is now getting death threats. For what? What exactly has this man done? Why does he deserve to die? For helping out with the environment by creating a green car? I don't even like electric cars, but the left loved Musk originally. He was a hero. But he switched sides. You're not allowed to do that. That's the real problem with Musk. But they try to make it out like that isn't the problem. They try to make it out like he's some kind of threat to our way of life. Where is the threat? What exactly is it about Musk that you don't like? Is he offending you that he set up Starlink to help out North Carolina hurricane victims or Southern California fire victims? Maybe you don't like his determination to rescue two astronauts who were trapped in space. Or perhaps it's his Neuralink device that may someday help blind people see again. Yeah, this dude is dangerous. Mark my words, every irresponsible loudmouth who compares Musk to Hitler is going to embolden some new psychopath who will try to make a heroic name for himself by assassinating the new Hitler, in the tradition of the emboldened sniper aiming at Trump at Butler, Pennsylvania, and at a golf course in Florida. Meanwhile, somebody with a real honest-to-goodness similarity to Hitler, a young man with an anti-Semitic, Jew-hating, world-conquest ideology, a man who really, truly holds a lot of the same views as Nazis, literally, is being defended by the left. Mahmoud Khalil. And I should say, if I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, I don't care. Khalil was arrested Saturday by Department of Homeland Security officials. White House spokesperson Carolyn Leavitt explained at her briefing. She says, Mahmoud Khalil was an individual who was given the privilege of coming to this country to study at one of our nation's finest universities and colleges. And he took advantage of that opportunity, of that privilege, by siding with terrorists, Hamas terrorists, who have killed innocent men, women, and children. This is an individual who organized group protests that not only disrupted college campus classes and harassed Jewish American students and made them feel unsafe on their own college campus, but also distributed pro-Hamas propaganda flyers and the logo of Hamas. Levitt's office did provide images of the flyers to the New York Post. One says, Crush Zionism. It's there with a picture of a boot stepping on the Jewish Star of David. Isn't that nice? My friends, Zionism is merely the belief that Jews, like everyone else, are entitled to have their own country. Another image celebrates Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, the code name for Hamas's October 7, 2023 attack, where some 1,200 Jews across southern Israel were massacred. Levitt continues, and this administration is not going to tolerate individuals studying in our country and then siding with pro-terrorist organizations that have killed Americans. We have a zero-tolerance policy for siding with terrorists. Trump had his own words. I think we ought to get them all out of the country. They're troublemakers. They're agitators. They don't love our country. We ought to get them the hell out. My friends, deporting a terrorist, or at the very least a man promoting an official terrorist organization on the U.S. terrorist watch list, is a valid act of our commander-in-chief. I told you last week the day would come when activist judges who try to stop Trump at every turn would sooner or later interfere even with his role as commander-in-chief. I said that last week. They didn't make us wait long, did they? Oh, I brought up the extreme possibility of some judge telling Trump he's not allowed to attack Iran's nuclear facilities. That's not what's happening. Not at the moment. But it's not far off. According to the New York Post, a federal judge has stalled deportation proceedings against Mahmoud Khalil, who is jailed at a Louisiana immigration facility. Manhattan District Judge Jesse Furman wrote in a court order, to preserve the court's jurisdiction pending a ruling on the petition, petitioner shall not be removed from the United States unless and until the court orders otherwise. Anyway, he's being protected by a judge, but he was arrested. The left has become completely unglued. Candidate for mayor of New York City is literally screaming about it, right in the face of Tom Holman. So are U.S. Congress members like Rashida Tlaib. They're calling it a free speech issue. This is not about freedom of speech. It's about inciting violence. But again, the left can't tell one from the other. It's about inciting violence. It's about vandalism. And frankly, our First Amendment protects United States citizens, not people who are visiting our country. Now, people who visit do have some limited rights under our Constitution. That's true. But not if they are calling for the destruction of our nation, which Hamas does. Not just the nation of Israel. They call for the destruction of Western civilization. As a matter of fact, even in the case of United States citizens, I have said before that I find it a contradiction when citizens speak out against our country's form of government because on one hand, they claim constitutional rights to freedom of speech, but on the other hand, they call for the shredding of our Constitution, which gave them that right. That would be true of communists who don't believe in our Constitution. That is also true of those who advocate for Sharia law. Sharia law is rule by religion, not freedom of religion. That is guaranteed in our Constitution. But Sharia law is not about freedom of religion. It's about rule by religion, forced religion. Sharia law is what Hamas stands for. It's the least of what they stand for. They also stand for the genocide of Jews. Just gotta love the left. They won't stand during a speech on Capitol Hill for mothers of women murdered by illegal immigrants. That doesn't concern them. They won't stand for a woman injured in a sporting event by a man claiming to be a woman. That doesn't concern them. Billions of dollars in government waste being uncovered. That doesn't concern them. The drug cartel being involved in literal slave trade. That doesn't concern them. Slavery 200 years ago. Yeah, that's different, but slavery going on today? That doesn't concern them. Tesla owners and dealers subject to fires and other kinds of vandalism? That doesn't concern them. Death threats against Elon Musk? That doesn't concern them. a foreign student, not even a citizen, promotes the occupation of college buildings, the harassment of Jewish students, and promotes the very organization listed by our government as terrorist, the same organization that attacked Israel in October of 2023, an organization that raped women, murdered children in front of their parents, murdered parents in front of their children, cut people's heads off, and literally put babies into ovens, just like the original Nazis in Auschwitz. Khalil supports this organization verbally. He hands out flyers promoting them, promoting this organization that calls for the complete annihilation of Israel and the death of the United States. This man is arrested and threatened with deportation. That concerns them. That the left marches against. That's the man who has rights. I remind you again of Isaiah 5, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing okay.
We're getting into the time change, so now I can say afternoon instead of evening since,
well,
you know,
technically
it's still
evening, but yes, it looks like
after.
Well, once it turns 6, it's evening.
Oh, okay. But I thought, I always just assume when it's officially nighttime outside or dark.
I guess according to the laws of astronomy, you're correct, but according to the legal laws, if it's 6 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock.
I mean, I could get Neil deGrasse Tyson.
We say
6
in the evening, we say 5 in the afternoon.
I got you.
But anyway,
well, we have a couple of segments. I want to get through this whole thing first by talking about sports because I know everyone's a huge fan of sports here. So, San Diego has been huge in sports this time around. We got the San Diego Wave. They played their first game of the regular season. They ended with a tie against Angel City FC, 1-1 there. The San Diego Football Club, which is our men's professional team, they are are still undefeated. They are now 2-0-2 after tying a match with them with the Columbus Crew. It was a 1-1 game there. The San Diego Padres are in the news because the San Diego Padres and the Seattle Mariners are going to be playing for the Vedder Cup. This cup is named after Eddie Vedder, who is the lead singer of Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder was born here in San Diego and grew up a little bit here, but he mostly grew up in Seattle, where he became famous with his rock band that he had. Henceforth, why we're calling it the Vedder Cup. And I was in a grocery store, and the patron at the grocery store said, "You know why they're playing for a trophy? Because they'll never win a World Series." I was like, "Yeah, that's true." Let's just get that out of the way. One last thing I do want to say before I move on to one more San Diego and the big news topic here for our sports segment. My college that I graduated from, Cal State Dominguez Hills, they are now in the Sweet 16 for Division II basketball tournament. The men will play against Point Loma Nazarene tomorrow. And the women will play against Central Washington tomorrow as well. So
now, Point Loma is a private college. Was your college that you graduated from a private college?
No, it was a public college. So it just so happens.
Do they really have public and private colleges playing in the same league?
Oh, yes.
I was not aware of that.
Yes, for sure.
I just thought private colleges had their own league.
Like, for example, Grand Canyon University is a private institution,
right,
but they play in Division One basketball of all places. So
what do I know? It just goes to show you.
It's pretty cool, though. One last thing. Both San Diego State and UC San Diego's men's and women's basketball team have made it into the tournament. San Diego State was on the edge of either making it or not for the men's, but they did officially make it in. So congratulations to both teams for making it into the playoffs. That's what I'm going to be mainly talking about today is the March Madness brackets. I mean, these are some crazy, crazy picks I made already. I've only been 30 minutes since they've officially released it to the public, and I've already made my picks already. That's crazy. So very quickly, for the first four games, if anyone is interested, for the women's side, I think High Point's going to be William & Mary. UC San Diego will lose to Southern U. Columbia will beat Washington, and Princeton will beat Iowa State. I won't go through every single game, by the way, because there's too many to count. I'll just highlight some things that I do think are going to be happening with each one. So I will focus on the women's for now, and then I'll move on to the men's here soon. So nothing surprising in the Spokane region. I have UCLA, who's the number one seed, making it all the way to the Final Four. And the only surprise I would say that I have as an upset is probably Ole Miss going to the Sweet 16 and George Mason putting it off an upset against Florida State there. But otherwise, it's about what you expect in that region. Over into the Spokane region for Spokane number four, I have UConn actually going all the way over there. I have South Dakota State making an upset against Oklahoma State. But once again, nothing much to report on that side because I think everyone is favoriting UConn. On to Birmingham, which is the second region area. We will have, it looks like I have Duke making it through all the way. I think South Carolina, the number one seed, is really, really good, obviously, but they do have a lot of injuries plaguing this year, and they're just getting back into getting over some of those injuries. I think it might be a little bit tough, especially when it comes down to Sweet 16 or an Elite 8 area, so that's why I have them losing there. Otherwise, I have Maryland going pretty far as a number four seed because I just trust the coaching over there, but again, no surprises there. The biggest surprise for sure for me was Birmingham number three region. I have South Florida, who is a 12 seed, going all the way to the Elite Eight, taking on TCU. I do have TCU winning overall, which are a number two seed, but that's my big, big upset over there. That's my Cinderella team, basically, the team that no one expects to go that far. But I really do believe in South Florida, especially with their three-point shooting. I really do think so. So the final four teams I have will be UCLA, UConn, TCU, and Duke. And I have TCU and UConn playing for the championship and UConn winning it all. So hopefully you find that interesting. I do have the brackets up publicly on my Facebook if you do want to see that. So you can look up my name, Brendan Thomas, there. Now moving on to the men's side of things very quickly for the first four games. I have St. Francis of Pennsylvania beating Alabama State. I have American beating Mount St. Mary's and Texas beating Xavier. And then the big one that I know everyone here in this area is specifically looking forward to is San Diego State versus North Carolina. I have North Carolina beating San Diego State. I just think San Diego State has been too inconsistent this season. So moving on on to each region again. South region, UC San Diego, I have going all the way to the Sweet 16 and then losing to the number one seed Auburn. Otherwise, another upset I have is New Mexico beating Marquette. And UNC, I have actually going all the way to the Sweet 16 just again based on coaching alone. And I also have Yale beating Texas A&M possibly too. I think they're a team to look out for as well as a Cinderella team, you could say. But otherwise, I have Auburn winning that section. On to the West region now. I have Florida winning it all, and my Cinderella team in there is Drake. I have Drake actually moving all the way to the Elite Eight. So I know it sounds crazy, but again, Vegas odds do have them as the best Cinderella team out of all the teams. But again, no other upsets besides that. Moving on to the Midwest region, I have Georgia actually upsetting Houston in the second round of all things. And I have Clemson coming out of that region. I have Utah State, who's a 10 seed, who I think are very underrated, especially because the head coach of Utah State used to go to my old college, too, of Montana State. I don't want to brag too much. He was a Big Sky champion over there, and he led Montana State to their first playoff in, like, geez, I want to say it was 13 years or something like that. It was a very long time since Montana State actually went to the tournament. So Utah State signed him from Montana State, and they've done wonders over there. So overall, again, I got Utah State and Clemson winning that region. And then on the other side of things, I have Duke winning it all the way through, but my Cinderella team in that one would be BYU. It has nothing to do with their religion because Mormonism is kind of a weird thing to me too. But otherwise, I really think BYU can be a very dangerous team, both offensively and defensively. It's just, again, maybe some consistency would be better, but they can be that kind of team to make it all the way to the Elite Eight, in my opinion. So again, my final four teams: Auburn, Florida, Duke, Clemson. I have Duke winning it on that side and Florida winning it on the other side. And then in the end, I hate to say this because this is my least favorite team of all, but Duke University is going to win it all. So that is all my picks for March Madness. Once again, I put it on my Facebook publicly if you do want to go see it.
Well, we'll have to have our other sports predictor, Jim Barrier. He'll be on in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
We should send him a recording of this. See if he concurs.
Yes, absolutely. I think he did say Duke from what I remember. But
sounds familiar. I believe he did too.
And I couldn't argue against him, honestly. They were that good this season. So.
And I think he said something similar, that it wasn't his favorite team, but he grudgingly gave it some.
Oh, I did not know
that. Okay. I think he said that about some team. Maybe it wasn't Duke, but.
Okay. But either way, very good to see UC San Diego and San Diego State make it in. And again, shout out to all the professional San Diego teams. I do want to point out one more time that San Diego Seals won today too. They were on national television and they won 20-14 against Las Vegas. So again, it must be a very, very good time for all San Diego teams this time around, because we're just seeming to win everything.
There's irony in the phrase winning against Las Vegas.
It's very true. Very true. So we're going to go take a commercial break, and then I have a whole bunch of local news to go over with you, Bob, and see what your reaction is to all the local news that we have here. So stick with us.
Reader enthusiasm for the Dangerous Christmas Ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh, as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, again, very, very busy week in news, of course. Not only just on a national scale, but even on a local scale, we are having some brand new news. Let me start off with the good news, and then I got some really, really terrible news after this. So let me start with the good news. The San Diego Zoo has welcomed a newborn two-toed sloth. This is the first time since June 22 that a two-toed sloth was born at the zoo. The pup was born to 12-year-old Henna, and Henna also has two other children named Torino and Colhede. The zoo has publicly stated that it's going to be 3 months with the mother and child by themselves first before they release it to the public to see and display. So
when you see it, it's $1 to stand there for an hour and see it move 3 feet, and $2 to stand there for 2 hours and see it move 6 feet.
Yes, of course, because again, they work as fast as the DMV, basically. I love that joke in Zootopia, by the way. That was a great movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Sad news. I do want to give my prayers out to Mississippi, Missouri, and Kentucky and Arkansas. They are really
going through the ringer.
Yeah, 100 tornadoes they've reported.
Wow.
Dust storms and fires over there. They so far have killed 37 people now.
Has the left started screaming about global warming?
Probably, or climate change, one of the two.
Yeah.
The stories that are being reported are just horrendous to hear. So again, our thoughts and prayers are going out to all those people. And of course, the first responders, thank you for your service and trying to help out all of these folks here, because it is definitely a hard time for everyone over there. So please be safe out there. Now we're going to move on to the actual local stuff here. So this week was crazy in rain, wasn't it? I think it was about like maybe...
There were 3 solid days where it almost didn't stop.
I know. Yeah. I think they said it was 3 inches of rain or something like that. That was how much it was rain, 1 inch per day, basically. And yet, the National Weather Service San Diego says we are in what's called a D3 drought still, which means that we're in an extreme drought still, no matter how much you try.
Divert it all out to the Pacific again?
I'm not sure.
Or does he need extra water bottles for the guests on his new podcast?
They said that this is one level away from worst drought levels ever, according to the National Weather Service of San Diego.
They wouldn't know what to do with water out here if it bit them in the butt.
I know. The last time we were in a D3 level was actually back in fall of 2018. Just 5 months ago, the region wasn't experiencing any drought. The county has since seen 3.8 inches of rain, which is about half of where we should be now, according to the National Weather Service of San Diego. San Diego County Water Authority says that they're going to be jumping rates by 5% in May for all the county of San Diego. So if you see your water bill a little bit higher, this is the reason. They are increasing imported water rates, so because of that, they have to
increase. Well, of course, because the natural water that was coming in for years, they were diverting.
Yes, exactly. Or, again, our reservoirs were not being utilized very well either, so for that matter. So, the more it rains and the more it collects locally helps with the keeping the rates, fairly low and keep our rate increases really to a minimum, according to a spokesman from the San Diego County Water Authority. Really?
But it seems to me it could rain till the sky comes home and it won't make any difference.
Yeah, and then we'll still have a D3 drought level no matter how much
we
try.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes with SDG&E. There's so many scandals behind these water and electric companies left and right. People are suing them locally or even on a national level because they're twisting the numbers and then they're charging us more based on those rates.
Yeah, and how's Newsom going to put us all in electric cars by 2030 when they're burning down all the Tesla stations?
It's true. And not only that, but like, again, you want to push this idea of electric cars, but yet we still don't have those infrastructures. I still have to wait 9 hours
and
so I can charge.
That the amount of batteries we need for the electric cars just tears up the environment even more. It's all just a scam.
Exactly, exactly. And the sooner that the Trump administration can like put a stranglehold on this, because it sounds like they're slowly processing.
They're doing a lot. We have too many judges that think they're president, though, at the
moment.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but right now, I guess the main focus for Trump and those judges right now is the immigration situation. I don't know if you heard that news recently there.
Oh, about how they ordered the plane to turn around and then also stopped the deportation of this troublemaker at Columbia.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you also heard, they said that San Diego's population in just this year, they look at it quarterly and they looked at the early quarter numbers. It's increased, but they looked into it more. It turns out it's because there's a lot of illegals coming over the country already still. So that's nothing to brag about still. That's just, again, illegal people doing illegal things.
Judges think it's illegal to take care of the illegals. That's our problem.
Again, it's ridiculous. Why is our federal government doing this? We have a system. It's worked for, what, 250 years
or
so?
Part of it is leftist activists that literally want to destroy our country because that leads to the global village. Meanwhile, along the way, at every ladder along the way, you have a narcissist judge that wants to make a name for himself, wants to go viral, loves the power.
Yeah.
That's a bad combination.
For that matter, I remember seeing a few weeks ago, Donald Trump was at a church service and then there was that pastor just continuously ridiculing him over and over. But Trump, to his credit, no reaction. He's just sitting there.
Just sat there.
Yeah, and just...
And then there's the other theory. Maybe they're all just stupid.
I think that last theory is probably more accurate, actually.
It's something we should consider.
Moving on, San Diego Unified School District has decided to open up applications for growing a TK program. Parents can register their children if they're 4 years old by the time the fall semester starts in September. This is a new investment being made to expand classes and hire more teachers at the San Diego Unified School District. San Diego Unified School District plans to add at least 20 new transitional kindergarten classes, which are known as TK classes, in fall and hire 40 more teachers. But keep in mind, this is in the meantime while the school district is dealing with a $112 million deficit for next year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so our tax dollars go up, and the idea of hiring more teachers always sounds good.
In theory.
The question I have is, what kind of rap with a capital C will these teachers be teaching our kids?
It's true. Even more so on top of that, I would say, is the fact that, once again, who did we talk about last time? It wasn't San Diego Unified. Oh, it was Grossmont. Grossmont Unified School District. They said, listen, we're going to be in a deficit soon coming up, and it's really going to affect us 12 years down the road. We'd rather just nip it in the butt right now and then wait till the next administration comes in, and then we can get some more funding possibly. Or we can try to increase the students coming into classes instead of not attending these days. I'm telling you, homeschooling is hurting public school systems right now.
But, they should. The kids get a real education.
I agree. And you get to control on what they learn and how they're learning it.
And
on top
don't anybody be deceived. When people protest against homeschools, they say, well, they're not getting a quality education. Homeschools kick the butts of the national scores compared to public schools. What they mean is they're not getting a proper indoctrination.
Right, exactly.
They're not hearing anything woke or LGBTQ or rainbow. That's the problem.
Yeah. And then don't get me started on the whole, well, what about their social life? They're not going to have a social life. There's plenty of homeschool kids that still have social lives, still have friends, and they are doing still very, very well for themselves, especially in later on careers. They have more friends than even kids went to public
school. People that are going to tell parents, if you don't let your child transition, a boy turning him into a girl, he's probably going to commit suicide. Frankly, I don't care to put those people in charge of the social life of our children.
I agree. Last story I have for the San Diego community is San Diego Congressman Daryl Issa is in the news today. He is suing the state to stop mail-in ballots counting after Election Day.
Good. So, they started that. They used COVID as an excuse for that. And now that COVID is over, they've never stopped it. Because once these programs get invented, they take on a life of their own and they never die.
It's so true.
Good for Daryl Issa.
Yeah. You see, COVID had a pro, which was we were now noticing, what are they teaching our kids in our public schools? Is that what they're teaching us? And then con... Well, they took the election and stole it, obviously, and then hurt our country even more to where we're in having to dig out this hole that Biden's administration dug us into, or even Newsom, for that matter, here in this state. But nevertheless, the federal lawsuit argues that counting vote-by-mail ballots that arrived up to 7 days after Election Day violates federal law and directly led to the defeats of two Republican incumbents in the last fall's election.
Well, and it gives them time to go out and scout and manufacture more votes.
It's true. It's true. Oh, by the way, this dead person just voted again, by the way, for the third time in a row. Judicial Watch is going to be representing Daryl Issa for this lawsuit to the state. California Secretary of State Shirley Weber, who is named the defendant in the complaint, said in a statement, "I will vigorously defend Californians' common sense election laws and safeguard every voter's right to have their ballot counted." I threw up a little in my mouth when I read that, by the way, just a heads up for everybody.
Yeah.
The longtime Republican congressman's lawsuit states he intends to run for re-election in 2026, which is fantastic.
That would be wonderful.
Him. Yes, but faces a material risk that he may lose future elections due to these unlawful ballots. Even if late arriving VBM ballots in 2026 do not result in his defeat, plaintiff is injured when an electoral performance is seen as less impressive. An unimpressive result leads to the public perception that California voters are turning away from plaintiff's message and platform, as a public statement was made on that as well. In a Judicial Watch news release announcing the lawsuit's filing, Issa said California voters need all the help they can get to ensure a fair election. I couldn't agree more. Because, again, we were dealing with this with the governor recall election,
with
remember?
The governor recall, with the Trump election.
Yes. Again, speaking personal, I'll tell my personal story one more time to remind folks. When I got my mail-in ballot, I knew I was not going to turn that in. I'm going to wait just a little bit longer and just go in and vote itself. And then I go to the voting ballot, and they say, actually, it says you already voted. And I said, oh, really? Who did I vote for? Oh, we're not allowed to state that publicly. But it's my ballot, so I think I should know. Well, what we can do is you can sign this form, and then this form like gets rid of that vote ballot, and you can vote one more time again. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I sign the paperwork, and I put my vote in. Unfortunately, again, Newsom's still our president in this future, so, and he's got a stupid podcast to boot with that.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure your new corrected vote went straight to the wastebasket.
I swear, I keep hitting Larry Elder, but it keeps going up to Newsom. I don't know what the system's doing. But, of course, I wasn't the only example in that whole situation happened. What was the lady's name that came in to talk
Ruth
about?
Ruth Wise.
Ruth Wise. She came up with plenty of examples
afterwards. Was getting all kinds of reports because I belonged to a thing on Facebook that was watching this election integrity. And I contacted Ruth and I said, is this really going on? She wrote me back immediately and said, Bob, this is the least of what's going on.
Wow.
That election was fixed.
Wow. That's the least amount. That's insane. Yeah. So just, again, I'm
now,
glad
I should say Ruth's organization is not allowed to officially say that. So
yes.
She just talks about what's going on. She's not allowed to officially declare that somebody cheated, but that's okay.
But
I don't belong to her organization. I'll say it.
Also, on top of that, it's not an official statement that she's addressing through her. This is just her personal.
She's just saying these are shenanigans that went on. She's not in a position to say that absolutely made a difference. But
yes,
you can look at the handwriting on the wall.
It's true. It's true. Last bit of news I have for you for the night, Bob. Trump is in the news. Wait, what? Did I get
Trump
it right?
In the news? No.
I know. And this involves closing down another media source. In this case, it is a company called Voice of America. Voice of America launched in 1942 with a mandate to combat Nazi and Japanese propaganda that was happening in World War II. U.S. President Donald Trump has signed an order to strip back the federal funding of the news organization Voice of America, accusing it of being anti-Trump and radical. A White House statement said the order would ensure taxpayers are no longer on the hook for radical propaganda and included quotes from politicians and right-wing media railing against the leftist partisan VOA. Mike Abramowitz, I think is how you pronounce his name, VOA's director, said he and virtually his entire staff of 1,300 people had been put on a paid leave. Other interesting thing is that we have offices of VOA in Russia and in China, I believe, as well. Those employees in those countries did not know about this executive order until the federal government wrote them a order. So,
well, let me speak to this a little bit, because okay. I know one of the accusations was always going to be that if Trump got reelected again, he was going to close down all news organizations that disagree with him or paint him in a bad light. He has not done that, and he doesn't have a right to do that, and I would oppose him if he did that. It's a little bit different when tax dollars, because right away when he was with Elon Musk doing this Doge thing, they had NPR and PBS on their list because these are news organizations that are funded
federally
by our tax dollars. It is different when our federal tax dollars, I'm a conservative. I don't want my federal tax dollars going towards some liberal rag. So I view this as a little bit different than if he, say, went after an independent news organization. Now, if the independent news organization organization, not in their editorial page or in their opinion section, is just putting out news that is not true and that can be proven, then it's a case of slander. So there are exceptions to this.
So then in that case, were you upset with Elon Musk coming up with the idea of buying MSNBC? Because there, as you probably have heard the news, MSNBC is up for sale and they're just waiting for a bidding war and the FCC to approve of the sales.
I view that the same way as when he went into Twitter. Twitter was censoring conservatives. Well, let's look at Twitter as an example. After Twitter became X, we don't see liberals being censored on X.
Definitely Democrats are
going out there and raking against Trump all the time. It's just that the conservative voices aren't being pulled off like they were before. So I have to assume it would be the same with MSNBC. But I'll go on the record. If liberal opinion gets censored, I'll stand up for their right to speak, stupid as their speech may be.
It is.
I will stand up for their right. But it's a little bit different when our tax dollars are going to pay for something or when they're editing out all the conservative voices and someone like Musk says, I just want to level out the playing field. Totally fine with that.
And to be fair, too, for conservative media, it's very hard for certain commercials because certain advertisers, they want to stay on the woke side and want to make sure they're PC and all that stuff. Meanwhile, conservatives are just very upfront and saying, this is what's happening in the news right now, and this is what's happening truly in the news.
Well, as long as we're drawing a distinction between the editorial page and the hard news page, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, good. Again, the whole program originally for Voice of America was to counter some anti-communism.
It sounds like they had a great beginning, but sometimes these organizations last too long.
Exactly, yeah. VOA is a parent company of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, USAGM, which Trump was very adamant of defunding as soon as he gets into office. So is exactly what happened. So hopefully...
Well, they shouldn't be worried. Some judge is going to overturn it tomorrow.
Probably. So, well, thank you so much for this
Brendan,
time.
Brendan, it's
the
always
air.
A pleasure.
Thank you so much. The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.